Good morning, church. Happy Easter. I had to send. Can we do a bit of confessional this morning? Let's do a reverse confessional, okay? You be the pastor or the priest, and I'll be the person coming in for the confessional. This morning, I sent a text message to Pastor Rob saying, I'm so sorry, I'm running late for church this morning. I've had a wardrobe malfunction because I had my shirt ironed and ready to go, and I had my pants ironed and ready to go, and I was going to wear like some nice linen pants with, like, you know, the lighter color linen pants. And as I'm about to put them on, I lift them up and I notice a big chocolate mark all the way down the back of my pants. And so that is why I was a little bit late this morning, Pastor Rob. I told him, I'll tell you why later. So I quickly got changed and now I found some pants. So praise God, I'm here this morning and I'm excited to share the word with you today. At the end of the message today, we're going to be taking communion together. And I'm excited. I love communion. And that'll be distributed at the end of the service. And all of you are welcome to join us if you'd like in communion. How many people are here today that agree that Easter is not just a holiday, but it's a holy day? Any people in here this morning here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus? I am so pumped. I'm so pumped. The resurrection of Jesus shows us the ultimate victory over sin and death. This is the Easter story. And I'm excited to come around our time of remembrance today. And maybe you feel like you've heard the Easter story so many different times and so many different ways. You know what? It's good. You should enjoy hearing about the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get used to it now here on earth, because if you enter into heaven with him for eternity, the elders around the throne still 2,000 years later are singing, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." They're singing about what Jesus did on the cross. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So my favorite message is the message of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Amen? Amen. Well, to start this morning, I was listening to a preacher a little while ago, and he shared some of the prayers from the early church. He shared some of the prayers that kind of sound like poetry, but they're beautiful and articulate and powerful prayers of the early church. And I wanted to read some of them to you this morning around Easter. Are you ready? Listen to this. This will grip your heart. Today, a tomb holds him who holds the creation, and the hollow of his hands, a stone covered him, who covered the heavens with glory. Life sleeps, but hell trembles. And Adam is set free from his bonds. Glory to thy dispensation, whereby thou hast accomplished all things, granting us an eternal Sabbath. Thy most holy resurrection from the dead, he Christ gave himself as a ransom to death, in which by we were held captive, sold as slaves unto sin. And he descended into Hades through the cross. He loosed the bonds of death. What is this sight that we behold? What is this present rest? The King of the ages, having through his passion fulfilled the plan of salvation, keep Sabbath in the tomb, granting us a new Sabbath. Unto him let us cry aloud, arise, O Lord, judge thou the earth, for measureless is thy great mercy, and thy dost reign forever. Come, let us see our life lying in the tomb, that he may give life to those that in their tombs lie dead. Come, let us look today on the son of Judah as he sleeps, and with the prophet let us cry aloud to him, thou hast slept as a lion. Who shall awaken thee, O King? But of thine own free will dost thou rise up, who willingly does give thyself for us. O Lord, glory to thee. Powerful, hey? Let me read to you another one. I like this one, from the perspective of hell. This is written from the perspective of hell. It says, today Hades cries, Hades sighs, crying aloud. Would that not I have received Mary's son, for he has come to me, destroying my dominion. He has broken in pieces the gates of hell and walked around Zion. All nations go around it. Give glory to the one risen from the dead, for he is our God. Who has delivered us from our sins? For great is his mercy towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Today, Hades screams in fear. My dominion has been swallowed up. The shepherd who has been crucified, yes, but he's also raised Adam in the grave. I am deprived of those I once ruled in the tombs over, and those whom I swallowed up in the grave of my strength, I now throw them up. He who is crucified has emptied my tombs, and death has no more dominion. O Lord, glory to thy cross and to thy resurrection. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the immortal one. He has closed the abyss. Wow, praise God. Isn't that powerful? I've got two more I could share with you, but if you want them, you'll have to text me. I'll send them to you later. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you and we are so thankful for the work you did on the cross. Today, Lord, our prayer is this, that as we reflect on the scriptures and as we reflect on the power of the cross and the resurrection, Lord, that we would walk out of this place this morning more in love with you than when we walked in. If that even be possible, Lord, I pray, deepen our knowledge of you, deepen our love for you. Lord, deepen our desire to know you. And I pray, God, if there be anyone in this room today who feels distant or separated from you, Lord, I pray that you would draw near to them right now and reveal yourself in this place by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen, and amen. I want to read to you today from Peter. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And it says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, God didn't have to give this to us. It was out of the mercy of his heart. He didn't have to die on the cross, but it was out of the mercy of his heart. And it didn't just end there, but there is an eternal story that is being told that we can enter into a new life, a new birth in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is not just history, it's his story, tying humanity into relationship with God. It's not just a historic account. It is a present day active power that is working within the room right now. This is resurrection power, and hell trembles at the thought of it. This is resurrection power, and demons that have tried to hold you back and try to limit your life, tremble in fear of the preaching of this very message because it's the message of Jesus Christ. Hell could not hold him down. He is risen. He is risen. Far above all principalities and powers and darkness, he is risen. And he, in his risen nature, promises us that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead could dwell within broken humanity. The Spirit of God no longer wants to dwell in temples or steeples or holy buildings, but the Spirit of God wants to dwell within temples not made by hands, but made by the heart of God inside of you. And if you're here today and you don't walk in that reality, but you want to, then stay tuned, because as we gather around this message, I believe that the Holy Spirit will be knocking on the door of your heart saying, let me in, because he wants to dwell within the creation that he made. Amen? Isn't that exciting? So good, so good. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. It is the proof that he was who he said he was, and that his sacrifice on the cross was enough to pay the price for our sin once and for all. It is the reason that we can have hope even in the darkest of times. But it's not just about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's about what's happening right now in our life, in your life and mine. The resurrection of Jesus is a present reality. Is a present reality. See, we often focus on the death of Jesus. We often major on the death of Jesus. We often sing about the death of Jesus. And not often do we give the same attention to the resurrection. But it is important we talk about the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus, can we go to the other slide? There's one there about the death. That's the resurrection, praise God. Jumping ahead of time. How can we, oh, all right. Well, I'll let you figure it out because I don't know what I can see. You can see it all up there. I bless you, Christabel, to find what you think we need to find. I'll share what I've got on my notes. I need your help, that's what I'm saying. The death of Jesus proves its importance in five key areas. Actually, I think this one isn't on the slides. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Christabel. Stick on that slide. We'll get to the next one in a second. The death of Jesus is important. It proves importance in five key areas. The death of Christ provides the means for our salvation, the forgiveness of sins. By his blood, we can be washed clean. How great was that new song we sang this morning about his blood washing us clean? So good. Secondly, it is the ultimate expression of God's love for humanity. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his brothers. This is that greater love. Thirdly, it provides a way for believers to have a personal relationship with God. And it gives believers power to overcome sin and live a transformed life. And it is the basis of Christian hope and the promise of an eternal life, with him. But we don't want to just focus on the death. We need to honor with the same appreciation and reverence the resurrection of Christ. So now, dear Christabel, our team, our production team, let us gather around this PowerPoint that talks about five key reasons the resurrection of Christ is so important to us. All right, here we go. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it confirms his divinity and authority as the Son of God. Without Christ's resurrection, his message could have seemed in vain. But in the resurrection of Christ, it confirmed that he was who he said he was. It confirmed the authority of his word and his message. It is the ultimate victory over sin and death, that death could not hold him down and that sin could not control humanity anymore. If we choose to apply our faith in him, he would defeat the power of sin within us and we can walk in victory over it. It provides the assurance of eternal life for believers and it empowers believers to live a transformed life through the Holy Spirit. And it serves as a powerful witness to the truth of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. And today, like Claire said, when we look at how we can apply our faith to what Jesus did on the cross, we can sometimes wrestle with the thoughts of, well, that's great that Jesus did that, and that's great that he resurrected, but I feel like I'm still stuck. I believe in God. I believe in his resurrection. I believe in the power of the cross. But my life experience says that I'm stuck and I can't get out no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I pray. This gospel message and this resurrection power is not something you strive to achieve. It's something you yield to. It's something you trust in. It's something you surrender to. No amount of striving to be more like Jesus will liberate you from the grip of sin and suffering. But yielding and walking in the presence of God, choosing to trust that what He did was enough for you, that what He did was a finished work, and applying your faith to that reality, that what He did, that He does not need to go back to the cross again, that what He did finished it, that the blood is powerful and potent enough to free you and deliver you from all the things that try and entangle you. That blood of Jesus Christ is more potent than my grandmother's bleach. It is powerful. It is powerful to wash away even the darkest of sin. It is powerful. It is powerful. If you feel like you're still in a grave, the good news is that your chapter isn't finished yet. If you started reading the Bible and you ended on the page that talked about His death, then you would feel like there would be no hope for you. But the good news is, you turn the page, there's another page, there's more to the story, there's a resurrection. Friends, I've come to tell you today, no matter how stuck you feel, no matter how enslaved you feel, no matter how much you feel like you're hitting against a wall, it's not the end of the story. If you're breathing today, God's got more for your life. There is hope in the resurrection of Christ. And it's not just a hope that your life is gonna be nice and easy and better. It's not just a hope that you're gonna have a good time tomorrow or a more peaceful life or a more blessed life. It's not just that hope. The greatest blessing is not that you would not suffer, but that in the midst of suffering, God Himself would be standing with you. The greatest blessing, I'm changing my prayers, and maybe you are too, but as the Spirit of God convicts me, I'm changing my prayers to the Lord, not bless me with more, but Lord, I pray in the midst of what I have, let me experience the blessing of the reality of the presence of God in my life. That is a reality you could not attain on your own, but it's by the cross, it's by the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit of God could stand with you today and you not tremble and fall apart. It's because of His work that He can wash you and make you holy and stand with you today. The greatest blessing is not to live an easy and peaceful life. The greatest blessing is in the adventure of life, He would be with you. Through the highs and lows, through the valley of the shadow of death and on the mountaintop, the Lord would be with you. The Lord would be with you. How can we apply our faith in the resurrection of Jesus? Well, maybe I just said it, but I'll say it again. We can trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation and for the forgiveness of sins. It is enough. It is enough. You don't have to believe in Jesus and then perform a sacrifice. You don't have to believe in Jesus and then do some other pagan ritual to try and attain enlightenment. That's called Buddhism. The way of Jesus is so unique compared to every other religion because it's not about humanity climbing a ladder to try and get to God. It's about God climbing down the ladder to get to humanity. This is the uniqueness of faith. I've had people say to me, you know, Christianity is so much like all these other religions. They're all kind of the same. They all kind of share the same message. All the different gods kind of have the same story. I'm like, no, they do not. They do not. Every other god and every other religion says, do something for me. You have to change. You have to become better, do better. And maybe that God will look at you with favor. But this God says, you know what? You're so messed up and you're so broken. I can see the wickedness of humanity. I'm coming down to rescue you. This is the good news of the gospel. How else can we apply it? We can live a life full of hope and assurance in the promise of eternal life. We can have hope for tomorrow, but we can also have hope after death. So many people, one of the greatest fears that people have today is the fear of dying. But as a Christian, you can be liberated from that very fear because we know that death is not a full stop, but it's an open door. It's an open door into a new world with Him, into a new reality with Him. And third, we can seek to grow in faith and live a life transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to share this thought with you today. The main thing about Christianity is not the work that we do. It's not the miracles, although they are good. It's not the business, although that is good. It's not even the stories we tell of God. The main thing is not trying to live a holy life or live a sinless life. Although that's good, it's not the main thing. The main thing about Christianity is not the work that we do, but it's the relationship we uphold. It's the relationship we maintain. And it's the atmosphere that is produced by that relationship. It's about the atmosphere that changes by our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you know, before I walked with God, I used to carry in anxiety into a room. I used to carry in an atmosphere of trying to prove myself. I remember being in high school and trying to prove myself to the class by being funny or rude to the teacher. It was an atmosphere that carried me, this atmosphere of striving, this atmosphere of trying to be good enough, of trying to hide my flaws, and I hope nobody sees it because I'm trying to prove myself to people as worthy or good enough. But this is not the atmosphere we carry in the presence of God. If we maintain a relationship with God, His presence fills us and the atmosphere around us begins to change. See, I'm not focusing my life on the works I do for God. I'm focusing, and you're focusing your life on maintaining your relationship with God, on maintaining that conversation with God each and every day, so that the atmosphere of that relationship transforms the earth around you, transforms the community around you, the people around you get affected because you chose to maintain a relationship with the one who created you, who died for you, who was raised for you. If we want to be able to do great things for God, we must have a great relationship. If you want to have a strong anointing, you must first have a strong relationship. The whole purpose of this big story is that we ran away from home and Father God wants to adopt His children back. The whole purpose of the work of the cross is that God doesn't just want you to believe in Him, He wants you to have relationship with Him. He doesn't just want you to talk about God, He wants you to talk to Him. He doesn't just want you to hear about Jesus today, He wants you to hear from Him. He doesn't just want you to invite Jesus into your life, God wants to invite you into His. It's so much bigger than sometimes what we focus on. The whole purpose of this big story is God's redemptive plan, inviting humanity back into His presence and to live our lives in union with God. Somebody say union. Say communion. Now say union again. All right. Making sure you're still awake this morning. I don't know how much chocolate you had this morning, kids, but I'm glad you're still with us. The whole purpose of this is union. And as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded of the ultimate goal of our faith, to live our lives in union with God. And as we do, we become more like Him. It's not cleaning myself up before I come into the presence of God. It's walking in relationship with Him. And as I'm with Him, His presence and His nature rubs off on me. You know what? Alyssa and I have been engaged for a while now. And in the process of relationship with her, I'm starting to become a little bit more like her. And she's starting to become a little bit more like me. I'm finding myself singing songs that she sings. I'm finding myself eating food that I never used to eat before. My gosh, I have not had so much vegetables in the last 6 months than with Alyssa. But you know what? She hasn't had as much red meat as she has in the last 6 months because she's been with me.
as we walk in union, we become more like each other, and you would have a similar story too. The more you spend time in the presence of somebody, their nature rubs off on you. See, the goal of following Jesus, the goal of Christianity is to not in my own efforts and in my own striving become more like Jesus or become more like God. The goal is that I would surrender and yield to the revelation that He is who He said He is and His power is working through me, that I can step into His presence without striving, by faith, that we could have a relationship with Him. And in the process of you having relationship with Him, His nature begins to rub off on you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Trying to clean yourself up and get your life perfect before you come to church or before you follow Jesus is like trying to clean yourself before you jump in the shower. It's just not worth it. Jump in the shower and you'll get clean. Trying to clean yourself up before you come into the presence of God is silly. Just jump in the presence of God and surrender to Him and allow Him to clean you up. This is what it's about. This is union with Him. I want to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll close on this thought today. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, and 4. I'll read verse 3 and 4 because it's in my notes. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Another version says He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who has called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And here you go, catch this, don't lose this. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. Here it is. These are the promises that enable you to share and partake in the divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. There is an invitation from God to crucify your sinful desires, to crucify your ego,